There were injections of some drug, at least two, but I was in a fog after the first one and can't be sure how many more there were. And half a dozen electrodes were attached to various parts of my body. A bright, pulsing light filled my eyes, and I lost all contact with my surroundings, except through the voices of my interrogators. The next thing I remember is yawning and stretching as I woke up on a cot in the basement nearly 3 hours later, although I was told that the interrogation itself lasted less than half an hour. I felt refreshed, with no apparent after effects of whatever drug I was given. The guard came over to me as I stood up. I could hear muffled voices from the closed office. Someone else was being interrogated, and I saw another man sleeping on a cot a few feet from mine. I suspect he had recently gone through the same process I had. I was led into another basement room, a tiny cubicle containing only a chair and a small metal table, actually a typewriter stand. On the table was a black plastic binder, perhaps 2 inches thick, of the sort in which typewritten reports are bound. The guard told me that I was to read everything in the binder very carefully, and that Major Williams would then talk to me again. He pulled the door closed as he went out. I had barely sat down when a girl brought me a plate of sandwiches and a mug of hot coffee. I thanked the girl, and as I was hungry, I began sipping the coffee and munching a sandwich while I casually read the first page of the material in the binder. When I finished the last page some 4 hours later, I noticed that the sandwiches, including an uneaten portion of the one I had started, were still on the plate. The mug was nearly full of thoroughly cold coffee. It was as if I had just returned to Earth, to the room, after a 1,000-year voyage through space. What I had read, it amounted to a book of about 400 typed pages, had lifted me out of this world, out of my day-to-day existence as an underground fighter for the organization, and it had taken me to the top of a high mountain, from which I could see the whole world with all its nations and tribes and races spread out before me. And I could see the ages spread out before me too, from the steaming primordial swamps of 100 million years ago to the unlimited possibilities which the centuries and the millennia ahead hold for us. The book placed our present struggle, the organization and its goals and what is at stake, in a much larger context than I have ever really considered before. That is, I had thought about many of the things in the book before, but I had never put them all together into a single coherent pattern. I had never seen the whole picture so clearly. At this point, there's another editorial note to the reader. It is obvious that Turner is referring to the book. We know from other evidence that it was written approximately 10 years before the Record of Martyrs in which it is mentioned. That is, probably sometime in the year 9 before the new era, or 1990 according to the old chronology. Turner mentions typed pages, but it is not clear whether he means reproductions of typewritten pages or the originals themselves. If the latter is the case, then we may have here the only extant reference to the original copy of the book. Several reproductions of the original typescript in binders fitting Turner's description have survived and are preserved in the archives, but archaeologists still have found no trace of the original. Now back to the text. For the first time, I understand the deepest meaning of what we are doing. I understand now why we cannot fail, no matter what we must do to win, and no matter how many of us must perish in doing it. Everything that has been and everything that is yet to be depend on us. We are truly the instruments of God in the fulfillment of His grand design. These may seem like strange words to be coming from me, who has never been religious, but they are utterly sincere words. I was still sitting there thinking about what I had read when Major Williams opened the door. He started to ask me to go with him when he noticed that I hadn't finished my sandwiches. He brought another chair into the tiny room and invited me to finish eating while we talked. I learned several very interesting things during our brief conversation. One is that, contrary to my earlier belief, the organization is getting a steady trickle of new recruits. None of us had realized it because Washington Field Command has been putting the new people into brand new units. That's why the new communications equipment is needed. Another thing I found out is that a significant fraction of the new recruits have been secret police spies. Fortunately, the organization's leadership foresaw this threat and devised a remedy in time. They realized that once we went underground, the only way we could safely continue recruiting would be to screen new people in a foolproof way. Here's the way it works. When our legals have someone who says he wants to join the organization, he is turned over immediately to Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark's method of interrogation leaves no room for evasion or deceit. As Major Williams explained it, if the candidate flunks the test, he never wakes up from his little nap afterward. That way, the system can never find out why their spies are disappearing. So far, he said, we have caught more than 30 would-be infiltrators, including several women. I shuddered to think what would have happened if my own interrogation had revealed me to be too unstable or lacking in loyalty to be trusted with what I know. And I felt a momentary flash of resentment that Dr. Clark, who is not even an underground member, should have held the decision of life or death for me in his hands. The resentment quickly passed, however, when I considered that there is really no stigma to being a legal. The only reason Dr. Clark is not in the underground is that his name was not on the FBI's arrest list in September. Our legals play just as vital a role in our struggle as do those of us underground. They are vital to our propaganda and recruiting effort, our only close contact with the world outside the organization, and they run even more of a risk of being found out and arrested than we do. Major Williams must have sensed my thoughts, because he put his hand on my shoulder, smiled, and assured me that my test had gone very well. So well, in fact, that I was to be initiated into a select inner structure within the organization.